Well, welcome, folks. We're super excited to have you here today talking about what makes Vineyard Worship distinct on another one of our Multiply Vineyard webinars. These webinars are here to continue to support the Vineyard movement, to encourage senior pastors and pastors within the Vineyard to multiply their church, and then also to support church planters to continue expounding the kingdom all over the USA and all over the world. I'm so excited to be here with you. We have a tremendous group of folks. Before we dive in, I want to remind folks about just a couple things. We're on our Zoom platform. You have some buttons on your top left. I think that's left. And you can click those. Click open your chat window, say hi, tell us where you're from, like Heidi just did from Omaha, Nebraska. And then for anybody else, feel free to open up your chat window, your Q&A window. And there's also a raise hand button if you are wanting to get your hand raised so we see your question or thought, you're welcome to raise your hand. So much of what we're doing today, we're going to spend about 60 minutes together, and we're going to dive really deeply into what makes Vineyard Worship distinct. And as we do that, we want to make sure your interaction is a part of this, okay? So to do that right away, I'm going to launch a poll, because we want to hear who you are, where you're at, some details about you. So you should be seeing a poll pop up on your screen. I want you to just click any one of those that is for you. So tell us about yourself. I am a Vineyard church planter, a Vineyard senior pastor, a Vineyard worship pastor, a Vineyard church member or attender, or maybe you're joining us from another faith community outside of the Vineyard. So please click that, and you can click multiple. We know a lot of folks in the Vineyard wear many hats. This is a multiple choice question that you can click as many of those as apply to you. As you guys are filling out that, I'm going to introduce our panelists. We have an awesome group of folks here today. We have Annabeth Morgan, worship pastor at the Mile High Vineyard in Denver, Colorado. Annabeth, how is Colorado today, and how are you?
Oh my gosh, Colorado is gorgeous today. It's 72 and sunny, and I have all my windows up, and I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And we have Mr. Justin Law, pastor at the River Heights Vineyard in Inver Grove Heights, Minnesota, a little bit south of me. Justin, how are you today? And how's the Twin Cities?
I'm doing great. Twin Cities are weather-wise, it's cloudy, but that's all right. yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And close to me is Doug Erickson from Duluth, Minnesota at the Duluth Vineyard Church. Doug is also kind of our resident vineyard theologian with us today. He's PhD, teaching Vineyard Institute courses, a rather smart guy. He's bringing our level of expertise in this conversation way, way up. Hi, Doug. How are you?
Or way, way down, whatever the case may be. Doing well, Justin. Thank you. The weather here in Duluth is fantastic. As always, it's paradise.
We do love it, and I'm Justin Jen, and I am here in Duluth, Minnesota as well. I work on the Multiply team and help with all these fun webinars that you get to be a part of. If you haven't said hi already, like Matt Blankey, who's saying hi to a friend, Darren, say hi to each other. And I'm going to also end our poll and show people kind of what's happening. We have a bunch of folks with us who are Vineyard Church members or attenders who aren't on staff at all. That's 46% of us. And then the next big chunk is worship pastors. So our hope for all of you folks is that you either know this or are ready to hear this again. And then we do have a couple senior pastors with us and some church planters and even a few folks from outside the Vineyard. So thanks, everybody, for being here with us. We're really excited to dive in today. I want to say one thing before we jump in, and we have lots of content to go through, but we titled this What Makes Vineyard Worship Distinct, and we want to say what that means and what that doesn't mean. So we are going to dive in today kind of as an in-family conversation from family member to family member to talk about what worship is and how we do that, and also the values in which that comes from. What we're not trying to do is saying, hey, Vineyard worship is the way to worship, or the only way, or the right way, or somehow say we're better than other folks. John Wimber would say a lot that we are just one vegetable in the stew of the kingdom of God. And so today we're excited for everybody who's with us. And this is going to be a little bit of a deep dive into what does Vineyard worship look like, and also where does it come from. And I can't think of anybody better than the three folks to be sitting here with us to be in that conversation. So let's dive in. Worship is really founded with what we believe, right? It's kind of the crux of it. What we do is based on really our theology. And Doug, being our resident theologian, I want you to give just the briefest kind of focused definition of the theology of the kingdom for us. And then I want to hear some stuff from everybody else. But Doug, what are we talking about when we say the theology of the kingdom?
Yeah, as probably most of us, looks like most of us are familiar with the Vineyard, so I'm sure all of us have heard this. Kingdom of God is very basically where God gets his way, where we talk about the kingdom prayer, that where that God's will in heaven becomes known as earth. Hey, I'm there twice. How about that? And so we talk about the reign of God, that God's reign across the cosmos is all-encompassing, and this is something that is becoming real on earth. So that's where we get our already not yet, the kingdom is here, not quite fully here, fulfillment without consummation, these kind of words. That the kingdom of God, the promises of the kingdom, were fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus, as George Ladd would say, but they wait to be fully consummated in the future. So that is briefest I can do about the kingdom of God.
That's good enough? Awesome. Yeah, that's great. I think that's a good spot to start from. And so Annabeth, as you kind of think about the kingdom, as we were talking about this and preparing, you said that was one of those things that really drew you into the Vineyard. Tell us kind of that part of your story of kind of coming into experiencing worship as tied into the kingdom.
Yeah, well, my husband Kyle and I, we had just gotten married and we moved to Kansas City, Missouri for his medical school, and I was kind of really fed up with the way that I had experienced church growing up, which was really like defeatist, and we're all just praying for heaven to hurry up and get here and life to end because life is so hard, and there was no context for the goodness of God to even exist like right now. And so I remember my coworker in Kansas City inviting me to a church called The Vineyard, and I didn't know what a vineyard was. I just thought it was a non-denominational thing. And in their worship, I wasn't even a musician at the time, but in their worship, it reflected this thing of like, I could come in here feeling like I did at the time, which was pretty low as in regards to the church and what God could and couldn't do. Or I could come in here on the mountaintop and experience the Lord in both places. So now I know this is like the tension of the now and the not yet. But at the time, it's just what drew me to the family. I thought, this gives language for my pain when I'm in the lowest.
A little technical audio difficulty.
Yeah. Okay. This really does like allow me permission to be in the most painful spot and also allow me to be in the most joyful spot, because I don't know about you guys, but my life does ebb and flow. It is like a roller coaster. There, I'm at the top of it, and then all of a sudden something happens and I'm flung to the lowest place. And so, yeah.
I think that's really helpful. Thank you, Annabeth. So that tension of the kingdom, right? The already and the not yet. Justin, when you hear that, what's been your experience connecting with the kingdom through worship?
Well, I came out of a Methodist background. My dad was a Methodist pastor and then became a Vineyard church planner. And one of the things that I noticed that was different, and I was a middle schooler at that point, so even at that age, I could tell that there was a difference between I got so many great things out of my Methodist background, so I'll say that. But there was a different expectation. I think you would probably find that most Methodist theology would be really similar to Vineyard theology, but you would see different things. And so I think a large part of that was the expectation of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God would come possibly now at any time. And a belief in a God that also heals today, you know, that the Lord might speak to us and give us something right in the moment for somebody else. All of those things I noticed really early on. And so I guess for me, that was an invitation into just overall, like an experience of learning how to pray for people, seeing God do some pretty incredible things really early on, healing type things. At that point, I couldn't play instruments or anything. So my experience of the kingdom of God early on was more just, wow, God might be more real in my day to day than I was aware. I was already aware of the tension of things not happening coming in, but being more aware of the fact that God might be better and more powerful and might care more about what was going on around me and in my life. That was actually really huge for me. And I definitely took that into when I started, you know, leading worship and that sort of thing. It's been a great thing. Being in the vineyard is one of the greatest gifts that I think that God's given me. So
That's great to hear. So Doug, now that we got you with some headphones on and we've addressed the technical details, tell us why it's important to kind of deal with this tension of the kingdom and to express it. What in your life and in your experience has been healthy about that, helpful?
Well, I think probably like a lot of us, like Justin, I started in a place that was completely defeatist, that basically what we did as a church is we just hung together and somehow sustained through all these horrible things that happened. And then if we're lucky, a few of us, faithful remnant, would be left at the end when Jesus comes back in the rapture. That's a world that I grew up at. And I've seen plenty of the other side that is completely kingdom now, triumphant. And the issue that I see between that is it doesn't deal with reality, is that all of us are always living between those two tensions. We experience the triumphs of the kingdom. We experience the disappointments of the not yet. And so when we emphasize one or those other things, we're just not dealing with the way that reality really is. Will someday things be set right? Absolutely. Do we have a foretaste of that in the Holy Spirit now? Yes, absolutely. Like Justin said, when we see healing, when we see transformation now, that's a taste. It's a foretaste. And hopefully we'd love to see more and more and more and more and more of that. But we always know that there's this other stuff that always comes with that. And so I think we shortchange people. We don't deal with the way things really are if we just emphasize one of those two extremes.
Thanks, Doug. You know, I'd be really interested to hear, and I'm going to go to you, Annabeth, first. So making this kingdom stuff practical, I think sometimes there's probably a feeling in churches for church planters or pastors to really have a certain kind of feeling at a service, to really knock it out of the park, maybe gets used sometimes. Annabeth, how do you kind of wrestle with that? How do you wrestle with the temptation or the pressure to do that? What are some of your thoughts there?
Yeah, I have a lot of tension in me in that, because sometimes I even have pastors that oversee me at different locations. They have thoughts about what they want worship to feel like, right? So they trust my leadership, but they also are saying, hey, we want to do like a lot of celebration, our public worship. So do mostly in their language, it's fast songs. And, you know, then I get to have the moment where I submit. And then I also get to push back and say, hey, listen, I agree that we need to celebrate. But do you know how many people are going to come in here today and they're wrestling through depression and anxiety and cancer and real things? And the words of a song of celebration, it may push them to a place of joy with the Lord. But if we also don't have a space where they can really deal with like the heaviness and cast all their cares on the Lord because he cares for them, and this intimate place of worship, then it just, again, it's like, well, we're singing. It's almost, you know, when you hum.
Annabeth, it's just getting good, and you're cutting out just a hair. You're really getting into it. And Tom is even saying in the chat, Annabeth, your answer is really awesome and so true.
I'm here.
You're here. We got you now. You're here again.
Okay. Am I here?
Yep.
You're here.
Where did I stop? Probably when I was like doing this.
Yep, you were right there.
Exactly.
So basically, it's just so much striving and that mindset of like, oh, I've got to like conjure up this like celebratory thing and knock it out of the park. And the reality is the Vineyard is so good at saying in our worship, we are authentic and vulnerable and we celebrate and it's all this array of emotion. And honestly, the Holy Spirit speaks and he speaks about our like weekly set list. And so a lot of times, if you're not asking God, what do you want to highlight for this large group of people? Because I can't make everyone happy, right? Like I can't sing the songs for all the depressed people and leave the people that are on the mountaintop there to be like, okay, I guess I'll do lamenting worship. And it feels like a tension for me personally as a leader. And a lot of times I just rely that the Holy Spirit is speaking and he's highlighting a theme among our people and he wants to use me in that moment when I'm leading worship. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Justin, as you hear her say that kind of stuff, tell us about what that expectancy looks like for God to show up, for God to speak, for God to break in.
Yeah, well, Annabeth is speaking my language. That's a weekly thing. That's a weekly experience for pretty much any worship leader who's thinking about these things. And I guess what I would say about expectation is this is me on a good day. On a good day, I'm coming in and I'm aware that this might be the best day of somebody's life. This may be a day that God breaks through in an incredible way. And either when we're singing together from the message or prayer time afterwards that God might change their lives. And to me, that's so much different than just playing a song well. You know, I just have a desire to be a part of what God's doing in the room for people. And so I've had that same experience when I'm leading and I look out and I realize, oh, this song was for probably this person right now. And I just see the Lord ministering to them. And sometimes it's in a place of lament. Sometimes I'm doing a song that gives place to lament, but I will say something about lament. To me, I think that we, you know, it's the biblical model that we would, even when we're lamenting, we don't mourn like those without hope, right? And so to me, the way I kind of not lose my mind in it is saying, even if we're in a place where there's been tragedy or difficulty or there are a whole ton of people in the room who are having a really hard time, I have hope that Jesus wants to be with them and, you know, bring them comfort, and at the very least, we're together in community and we're singing together. So in some way, I feel like even in that, the kingdom is coming. It's an expression of the kingdom. We're together even in our suffering, but we also get to celebrate together as well. And I think it's a totally healthy thing to just encourage people and even speak about it, about that tension, saying, you know, sometimes I'll even say, we're all coming from different places today, but the Lord wants to meet us. He's here for us, right? Because that's my experience. That's what I believe. I think that's the best of what we can offer when we're gathering together to worship.
Yeah, I like what you guys both said about lament. I was just thinking of probably one of the most powerful moments we had. There's a lot of them at the National Conference at Columbus just a couple summers ago. Or last summer, whatever you want to call it, when David Roos led us in that song of lament from Nepal that had just lost 5,000 people to earthquake. And that is the nature of lament, though. It's expressing the reality of how things are, but they always close with that declaration of trust, you know, that despite of all these things that are going on, despite of all the horror, at times it doesn't look like it, but yet we know that you are good. We know that you are God, and there, where else will we go to put our trust in? And that is sometimes not the most popular. It can be kind of a downer, you know, to embrace that in worship. But it is that if we don't want to create a winner's club, we're only the happy, slappy folks, and we don't want to be complete walk out just relating to completely depressed. Well, why are we even here if nothing is going to change? The other side. Thank you. That's what it was. Thanks, Pat. Yeah, the other side. that song just absolutely captured that in the midst of this really tough thing, yet we are going to still maintain our trust in God. And I don't see a lot of that in popular worship, I would say, not just specifically looking at Vineyard worship, but across contemporary, the worship machine. That doesn't seem to be real popular. What seems to sell is definitely the more happy stuff, you know, and probably for good reason. So
I think that's interesting because, you know, oftentimes good art or good food has that tension in it, right? You get more notes than one. There's dissonance and there's a little bit of interest and complexity. So I think you guys are hitting on something that's just really true about all good art, right? And all good expression. That's the human life. That's our deal that we're working through. We want to ask everybody, how have you seen the theology of the kingdom expressed in worship? And Heidi says, many of our songs contain both the burden of this broken world and the promise of complete reconciliation. I think that's a great...
That's awesome. Great
there, Heidi. Yeah.
Please, if you have any thoughts, just add them into the chat there. We want to make sure this webinar isn't just us talking at you. We want to give you some practical stuff. If you're interested in this, you're kind of wrestling with, well, what are the values of Vineyard worship and how does that work? We have 8 free resources on worship values from our friends over in the UK. And there's some awesome writing, blog posts, kind of key things right at that link there that I just sent over in the chat. And then as we were talking last time, as we were preparing for this, Annabeth just brought up, hey, here's a book that I just love that really is a nice intro to this. Annabeth, I'm setting it up on the tee for you there. What book is it?
It's Rich Nathan and Ken Wilson's book, Empowered Evangelicals. It's like the easiest book to read on why we would call ourselves, another term in the Vineyard, the radical middle. Why we don't swing to one side or the other side, and how we hold the tension of the middle and what that looks like really practically. And I just reread it a couple weeks ago and realized every person that leads in the Vineyard, if they haven't read this book, it's like our DNA. And I know there's other books, like really great theologians have written throughout the years, but this is just really easy and accessible. So, yeah.
Thanks, Annabeth. A good callback, and maybe some of those folks, you know, you've read that, but like you said there, Annabeth, you went back to it and found there was more in there. So let's transition a little bit. Let's keep getting a little more practical. Justin, we want to talk about this dynamic of pastoring versus performance, especially leading worship. And we have a lot of church planters and senior pastors on the call, folks doing worship ministry who have felt that tension. Tell us a little bit about that tension of pastoring versus performance in your experience.
Yeah. Well, let me say, I could give a little bit of background in where I'm coming at from this as well. I've had the experience, and I still do, you know, perform and play in rock bands and things, and I've been leading worship even longer than I've been doing that. And over time, I've gone from being a volunteer worship leader to part-time worship pastor to, you know, 3/4 time to full time. And I think that as I've increased my pastoral roles, I've had to think about this idea of pastoring versus performance even more. And I think that I started seeing some friends of mine who learned how to actually be really good musicians and worship leaders. And some of them just left the church in order to do something like they wanted to kind of be rock stars. And I started thinking about that and the beauty of serving and what we do as worship leaders. And that's something I'd never want to be without. So I've been thinking about like the role that the worship leader has. And I'll just share some ideas and thoughts about that. In our context, in the Vineyard, you know, I wasn't there at the very, very beginning, and some people would be able to speak to this a little bit more than me, but it's been, 30 years for me now or something. I think you could tell that John Wimber and the founders of the Vineyard, it was worship that was such a huge component of that, right? And so I think some of those things are shaped by like the songs were really shaped by that. So, you know, we could list a lot of things that I think are kind of hallmark things of vineyard worship that wouldn't be only vineyard things, but I think that when you put them all together, it's a beautiful thing. You know, like I think about humility, longing, that now and not yet expectation we've been talking about, simplicity and accessibility, and like the simplicity of those songs, allowing people to just hop in and sing along right away, I think was very cool, and let there be space for people to not learn a huge amount of words before they could worship with everybody. And then also cultural relevancy type things where you're doing something that's a little more, the music of the times. But as far as like a worship leader, if we think about like liturgy, where like the things you do on a Sunday morning in the vineyard, normally a huge portion of what we do is singing together in comparison to some other places, where it would be more like we're going to sing this little thing and then we'll sit down and then we'll, you know, and the larger portion would maybe be more preaching or teaching or other things like that. So to me, that puts a big responsibility on, I feel a big responsibility, I guess, to really help people's connection with God, and the songs that we select actually do like shape people's worldview and theology quite a bit, you know? I think if we have like pastors and church planters and things, I think everyone's aware that people's experience of God as we sing together is may be a huge thing in whether people feel like God's active and whether they want to come back. Those are all huge things, but I guess I'm just aware that the role of the worship leader in vineyard circles is shaping theology and worldview, and we get the microphone probably as much and sometimes more than the person who's giving the message, and I think as we grow in being able to hear the Holy Spirit and interact and minister. Worship leaders, sometimes if they've got the skill set to do it, can be the other person who's really partnering with like a lead pastor. And also probably the first person that if you're planting a church, normally like the worship pastor is, worship leader is the next person that you need in a vineyard, right? So that you're not like one man or one woman showing it the entire way.
Yeah. Well, Justin, I'm hearing a question here from Ron that he sent in, and I think it's really tying into your talk about liturgy. So you talked about that is really the liturgy of the vineyard, and so often we don't think about it that way. So often we think about liturgy as very heavily structured and immovable. And Ron's question says, so then what happens, for example, when the worship leader gets a prophetic word during their leading and then launches into some ministry? For example, might hear someone for somebody on healing, and then there's a sense that the worship leader is not only continuing that liturgy, but all it's a flexible liturgy. You know, it's allowed to move and allowed to minister, and like we said, pastoring over performance. There's that seems to be elevated. Do you have any thoughts there? Kind of having that experience, being that being one of your main roles.
I'll say something real quick, and then I'll just pass the mic because I'm sure Annabeth or would say something awesome after me. So, I would say that it's been important for me to develop my own ability to hear the Lord and then and work with my church leadership, because different churches go about things differently, and that's totally fine. Even within the vineyard, I get a chance to go around a lot of different vineyards, and I see that we go about things a little bit differently, and that's okay. And so it's not necessarily, I wouldn't go lone rangering and just be like, hey, I'm taking over and this is where this service is going. But if there's like a good teamwork kind of vibe, and I'm feeling, a freedom and a sense from the Lord that the Lord wants to do something. I love that in our churches, so often there's space for a worship leader to say, I feel like the Lord's doing this, or I want to encourage you to do this, right? But I also think that means that there's a responsibility for the worship leader to learn how to do that well, because you can't just show up and do that without having that working in your life. Annabeth?
Man, J-Law, that was good. That was really good. Yeah. Do you want me to continue that, Justin?
If you have something, Annabeth, go for it.
Because she's awesome at it. That's what I'm saying. I've seen her do it over and over again.
So. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thanks, Justin. I'm going to just highlight, like, if you hear one thing today, hear what Justin just said. This doesn't just happen because you show up on a stage and you sing great and you're gifted to lead worship. This happens because it's a place of overflow and you do it in real life. Sunday is real life. Mm-hmm. But when I say that, I mean, like, if you've never prophetically waited on the Lord and prayed for somebody outside of the walls of the church, like, get off this webinar and go try it, because I'm serious. I don't even want to play about this. It's not meant for the walls of the church. Yeah, it's absolutely. Power evangelism. Yeah. It's how people come into life with Jesus. Amen. And we get the benefit from it on a Sunday together, but man, we can't keep it to ourselves. And so you need to learn to hear the voice of God. And where does that come from? It comes from spending time with God and getting familiar with his voice. And you need to know, like, God heals, and you may not be like a healer, right? Like, some people, they see healing happen a ton, but you know what? John Wimber prayed for like 100 people and for like a really long time before he saw his first person healed. And he just said, like, I'm just going to keep doing it. And we have to just keep doing it. And again, this tension of not seeing things happen and then seeing a ton of stuff happen, it is really hard to live in there. It's a lot of pressure, because you, on the days you're most discouraged, you're like, this stuff doesn't happen anymore, I quit, you know? And then on the days you're seeing a lot, you're like, yeah, God's here, woo! Well, the tension is hard. It's really hard when it becomes personal to you. Like, when one of your family members dies of cancer that you prayed for healing, you know? But we still have to keep trying. And it all comes from everyday life. It does not come from more church services and more like moments in congregational worship. My place of authority comes from my inner life with Jesus, period. And I'm still figuring it out. Like, I still feel like an idiot a lot of the times, but I still try and I fail and I succeed. And God's really gracious, you guys. Like, if you ever give him the chance to allow you to fail at something that feels scary, he is so quick to rush in, and you don't feel like you failed. You actually feel like so loved and seen by him that you want to do it again. I don't know how to describe that part. It just feels like a mystery, but it's his character. So anyway.
That's really good, Annabeth. And Scott Hussey's saying, great answer. And Annabeth, so good. There's lots of love in the chat window for you. Annabeth, I'm going to come back to you again here. So as we were talking, and thinking about, so as a church planter, as a senior pastor, you are also overseeing the worship that's happening. Maybe you're on stage, but maybe you're not, right? And you've talked about experiences where you've had pastors who are not just overseeing it, not just making sure the details are done, and not making sure the strategic process of it works, but also experiencing worship with you. Tell us a little bit about that and kind of how that impacts you as a worship leader.
Yeah, well, I'll speak pretty directly. It's going to sound a little harsh, but I don't mean it to. But it is so discouraging sometimes when you're leading worship and you're standing on stage and you realize other pastors in your room, whether it be your lead pastor or associate or whatever, are in their own conversations in the room, or you can just tell they're in like work mode, and you're going like, wait, guys, we're like the staff of the church, and everyone looks at what we do, and all these things we know are true, but you're supposed to be modeling worship. Now, in the Vineyard, that doesn't mean like, so raise your hands right now. It just means enter in, like, get past your own critical mind. So for me, when I'm not on stage, my biggest beef is trying to turn my ears off to not critique everything that's going on and to go to a vulnerable place with Jesus like I want the people to. And so sometimes with my own pastor, I have to remind him, and that's a really brave conversation to say, hey dude, you like stood in the back and I could basically like see you talking through worship about something else. Can you like model worship. Like, don't forget that you're, it's most important for you to model this. And here's the deal. I don't mean that like bad, you know, shame on you senior pastors. I mean it as like, if we are the people overseeing worship for our church, that means that's what we care the most about and we're called to this. So that means we have to remind others like, hey, you're meant to worship too and respond. And I know that the staff members that I've talked to about this have never left going like, listen here, jerk, don't tell me what to do in a service. They're usually like grateful for the reminder. Or the opposite is also true. When I go to my senior pastor and I say, it like move me to the deepest place of worship to look out and see you on your knees and weeping when I know you're about to have to get up and preach, that you allowed yourself to go to an intimate place with your Father and then still get up and give a message knowing that you may be a little off or your face may be blotchy or whatever, especially if you're a woman, it's like my mascara is like over here now or whatever. You know, we allow ourselves to still be messy because we're entering in with our Father and we're not like above it. It's not like, well, Sundays isn't my place to experience God. I do that another time. No, like we have to model this thing if we want our churches to have a culture of responding in worship. And so it's just important whether you're on the stage or not to deal with that. And here's the thing. I don't want to be like all idealistic. There are times when I go to church and I'm not serving where I have to say, hey, worship team, I'm actually here to listen to you, to give you critical feedback. But so, and I tell them that ahead of time so that they know I'm not just checked out or doing something weird. So there is space for that too. But most of the time, when I just come into a service with my family, with my community, if I say, Lord, at all, Lord, what do you have for me today? He's got something. And I move to someplace with him, whether it's weeping on the floor or not. So.
Thanks, Annabeth. That's so good. And there's plenty of comments in the chat. I like Scott saying, bring that. That's a solid, that's a solid encouragement there. What is everybody's questions they have for this kind of pastoring versus performance? Do you have any questions for our panelists here? We'd love to hear them. As we're doing that, I'm going to send a couple more resources along. So Justin, you recommend this book, To Know You More by Andy Park. You said you take folks through that. Tell us, just give us a little snippet of what that is.
Yeah, well, you know, Andy is awesome. And for anyone who doesn't know who he is, he's been a long, long, long time faithful worship leader. And he's got an incredible pastor's heart. And he's written this book, To Know You More, which I found to be a super resource when I've got somebody who's either new to the Vineyard movement or is just learning to be a worship leader. Before I think this goes hand in hand with what we've been talking about, but you know, before we would put somebody in a place in our church context where they're leading people, we want to have them have a chance to think about, well, where are they at with the Lord? What are their insides like? What kind of values do they have, and where do they and don't they match up with what we're believing in our Vineyard context? And so I found that book to be awesome. It's simple. Andy is real vulnerable. He talks about his own life and his own situations that were both, you know, successes and failures. And if I go through that book with people, I at least have a chance to say, hey, well, we read this chapter. How does this apply to your life? And, you know, some of it is super applicable and some of it not like so much person to person, but it covers the bases really, really well. So I could even see somebody who's I could see like a lead pastor who doesn't do any worship leading, him or herself, benefiting from even reading through that and just walking through those chapters with the worship leader would probably be a great relationship builder and conversation starter.
Thanks, Justin. And another one we want to send along. So this is a shared folder of a whole bunch of just great practical resources that were given to you. Our Vineyard Worship folks put this together. There's songs, song files, as well as chord charts. There's a form in there to help assess your service, exactly what Annabeth was talking about when she was saying sometimes she goes and gives them good feedback and critique. There's a form in there to sort of help walk that through. and some articles and videos and additional stuff. So please grab that stuff and just take it and run with it. So much for especially our church planters who are, you know, sort of needing to just grab resources all the time. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's been plenty of folks that have been creating and building this stuff for years and years. Take it and run with it. We want you to have it. So let's transition a little bit here from the real practical stuff and move to a little bit of this community of worship. Because whenever I talk to worship leaders in the Vineyard, it is the third sentence that they bring up, the worship community, the other folks who they're sort of relationally connected to around the Vineyard who are also doing worship with them. And so I would love to hear, Doug, first, why is it important as we talk about values and these deep things, these knowing, being, and doing, why is it important to actually be in a community and learn this stuff?
Yeah, I'm still processing what Annabeth and Justin said about a few things back. So I'm still back there going, holy cow, that's really good. So I'm trying to catch up here. But yeah, I think one of it is I read in one of the really old Vineyard Worship Update magazines from like the 80s. And I don't remember who wrote it, but they said something to the effect of Sunday morning, or rather Monday morning on the way to work or in the shower, the people in the congregation, they're not like singing the sermon that they heard on Sunday. What gets repeated in their brain over and over is a worship leader. And, you know, as a person who preaches, that makes me a little sad, but that's absolutely right. That's what I do is I don't repeat phrases I heard in the sermon. So there's something super formative about the worship music that we do. And I think that's one of the reasons why we really want to make it about us, that we'll make it ours, that we want to make it Vineyard from the ground up, because it is so culturally formative. And I've been in plants, several plants, have been in the Vineyard for over 20 some years. So I've been in plants and really small churches. And I know that for a lot of planters or in small churches, you don't always get to pick your people. You know, fortunately, no one's had to have me lead worship for their church plant, but you don't always get to, you the guy who shows up who can somewhat play guitar, well, that's your worship leader. So sometimes you don't get to make those kind of choices, but what you can choose is culture. What you can choose is what you're going to seed in as far as a Vineyard values and the culture and what this is going to look like as you build towards a more professional worship, as you add musicians, as you add complexity, as you add more depth to your lineup. You at the same time, you're always in touch with culture, always building the basic values into where you're going. That you can control. You can't control maybe who comes to you with skills, but you can control culture. And I think that worship is just so formative in a way that many of us don't even realize what we repeat, what goes into our brain, what we think. Yeah.
I love that, Doug. The songs are what get in our imagination. And fortunately, you know, you preach a mean sermon too, but I think you're right. I don't think I'm thinking of that the next day as much as the songs. Hey, Justin, so as you hear about the community, I know that's been formative in your life. Tell us how that's been formative. What ways, as you were sort of coming up and learning how to be not just vocationally a worship leader, but just somebody loved by Jesus, how is that worship community a core part of it?
Yeah, I've been so blessed by the relationships and friendships that I've made with other Vineyard worship leaders, and Annabeth would be an example as you know, one of many. And part of the reason I was able to do that was, first of all, if I had time that I could take off, I actually devoted that time to, you know, trying to do something like a national conference or one of these Vineyard worship leader retreats. And that resulted in some of the best relationships that I have, people that I can go to with questions about what I'm doing in leading worship, you know, resources, but also just, you know, the friendships, the people that you can tell things, when you're having a rough time, or have people support you, pray for you. you know, host you when you come into town, things like that. It was really important that my pastoral leaders at that point were willing to send me and help pay. They actually helped pay for me going to those Vineyard Worship Leader retreats. I remember showing up and being so nervous, like the first day of summer camp to the first one that I went to. And I was loved, you know, and it just touched me deeply. And so to me, those places are where I experience so much of what I love about the Vineyard in a really intense, focused way. So I guess I can't say enough about the community of people that are in this this group of Vineyard Worship Leaders. And so if anyone's a pastor who hasn't sent any of your, you know, people to one of those yet, if at all possible, I would recommend doing it.
Annabeth, as you think about the community that you've been a part of, I know you've been at multiple Vineyard churches during your history of just like kind of being God moving you and your family around the country to be a part of this. How has that community been formative for you?
Yeah, well, they've taught me everything I know about worship. And so people like, you know, Rainey McCoy and and Kurt Bartlett were the first worship leaders that I saw in a Vineyard. And then you just on accident end up, your values almost just get like put on the people around you. And much less when you're in like an intentional mentoring relationship, you know? And so it's important that if you want certain values in your leaders, you better model them, because that's what they pick up. And I'll never forget the whole like entering into worship all the time really came for me from Michael Hansen, was at Columbus Vineyard at the time. And that man, to this day, if he's in any space, he is in the front, like going crazy. Like such a big worshiper. And it never feels like he got too professional for like entering in, you know? And just, there's tons of leaders. And there's people that aren't worship leaders, like, you know, Steve Robbins and be a follower of Jesus, what it looks like to be a disciple. And honestly, I think I just lost my connection. Did I lose it again?
Just for a moment.
Okay. Sorry, guys. Oh, so silly. But when I, the other big thing is this, like, I didn't even have theology that a woman could do what I do. So it took my whole community around me to encourage me that maybe God's given me leadership gifts for the church. And I would immediately say, guys, don't you know I'm a female? And they would then push books towards me and say, why don't you read another version of this? Because it just seems like you were told as a child, well, you're a girl. All you can do is cook and make babies. And so I'm like, okay. And even in the context of community, did I learn like that I could even be a lead worshiper or a pastor? And so I don't ever want to forget that part of my story. So. Yeah.
And I think one of my favorite quotes about like leadership development is great leadership development happens over the heart, over the shoulder and through the heart. And I can't think of worship as like the perfect context for that, because not only is it these values that are delivered and ingrained in people, it is the skills, right? It is the pieces. And I love that, Annabeth, having folks that gave you permission to develop, that gave you permission to focus in there. So we want to point people to some of these pieces of the community, because they are available for folks. So there are the Vineyard Worship events. I sent you a link right there. That takes two pretty distinct forms. One is the Songwriter Summits, and one is the Worship Leader Retreats. Annabeth, I'd love to hear if your internet connection allows it. I know you get passionate about songwriting. Tell us just a brief snippet of the Songwriter Summits. Why should somebody go?
Oh, because it's so much, well, some people it's scarier to do things in community, right? Like share what you've written or it be exposed. Like what if my idea sucks, you know? And, but for me, everything feels safer with people. And so I know that like when I connect my life in friendship with Justin Law, and then we happen to both be creative, the songs all right are probably going to be better because he's got other things to say that are going to make it better. You know, I don't want to be the only voice in my songs. And then the other thing is just those spaces where people start to believe that they can even be a songwriter. Like, I still struggle with that thought of like, I'm not really a songwriter, you know, and it's in the context of community again, that people call things out of you and they say, don't you see that you are this? Like, you are loved by God. You can have like a voice in songs for your church, even if it's in quotes just for a small group. I put that in quotes because it doesn't make your song less powerful if it's just for your local context. God may want to use your voice for your local context, and it's just as powerful as Matt Redman's voice or name your favorite, like, you know, 10,000 reasons. Everyone knows it, but still, it's all how God wants to use you. So the summit is the place to like go and try and know that you're not going to be judged. Like, it's not a panel judging you. It's a place of safety saying you're welcome. Now let's just see what God would want to do with you. So,
yeah. Could I just hop in and say, just related to the songs that are, you know, that come out of this Vineyard movement. I am so amazed by the people that are writing these songs, and it's a special thing for me to be able to lead those songs in my church congregation, and so I don't know, I think I just want to flat out, you know, say to anyone who's listening that that I've been so impressed by so many of the songs that have come out even recently in the last few years. And it goes far deeper than, you know, the classic ones that a lot of us that have been in the Vineyard are aware of. And I think that when we're talking about these things of like theology and culture and values, when people are writing songs out of our own experience of being in the Vineyard movement, I think that there's a special thing that can happen a lot of times. We don't do only Vineyard music, but I think that we do a big, huge portion, including stuff that we would, you know, do as originals, you know, from our church body. And to me, that's just one of the greater joys for me, even feeling, it's weird. It's like if I'm doing a song that's written by Annabeth, on some level, it's like, I don't know, I just feel like connected even within the Vineyard movement to something larger, even as we're all connected to Christ together. And it's a special thing. And I just felt like I'd be remiss if I didn't like say that out loud and say that I really just believe in the songs that are coming out of our movement right now.
Yeah, totally.
That's really good, Justin. Justin, tell us as well. I would love to hear an awkward summer camp story, because that was you referring to being at the worship leader retreats. Why should somebody, you know, connect with other worship leaders in that sense and spend all this, you know, time, effort, money, and go to something like that?
Well, you know, I didn't have to be super awkward for real long. I was more awkward when I went to college, honestly. It took me longer to figure out what I was doing there than at a Vineyard worship leader retreat. but I guess I would say that one of the cool things about these worship leader retreats is that it's not necessarily like different than what we believe and what we're going for. It's like it's just an incredible expression of it with people that are all worship leaders, which is special. So it's got a double special thing for me. So it's being loved on. It's meeting new friends. It's being led by really skilled. I mean, the worship at those things is pretty off the hook in and of itself. And you get people praying for you and caring about you. And I just think you, I left, I every year I go, I've gone for, I don't know, 12 years or more, I don't know, to these things. I get more and more friends, people that I'm so glad to be in community and relationship with, people who've got my back, people that I know will be, or, you know, will be praying for me if I ask for it. And sometimes when you go, and you get separated from what I'm doing day to day, like every week, if I go and I'm with people who know where I'm coming from, know what I'm dealing with, and want to just support me and be in relationship with me. There's just like super, super like beautiful stuff that happens in there. It's a huge recharger and inspiration for me every time I go. Does that help?
I sure hope so. I think it sounded great.
All right.
Our friends at Vineyard Worship wanted to make sure we pointed out just two pieces of their Facebook presence. So they do have a main page with, you know, a bazillion likes, so you can like them too. And then also they have a kind of a more internal group, Facebook group, that's a really active community of worship folks around the Vineyard. So if you're in the Vineyard, click there, and then you might have to send them a little, hey, here's my, you know, I'm at this church and I'm part of the Vineyard. And it's a spot where they talk basically all the time. As we're wrapping up here, if any other questions are coming in, please send them our way. There's a couple of good ones. Just when's the next songwriting conference? You know, how do you think about kind of doing some technical things? Thanks, folks, for sending in good questions. I want to point us to our next webinar. We have a really good webinar coming up with Vineyard, the Vineyard Justice Network. And that is specifically to how your church can join the fight against human trafficking. This is happening at the end of the month, end of September. So we got a few weeks away. Please click register and put that on your calendar. Even if you can't be there during that time, just like this webinar, they're all fully recorded, and then you'll get sent the recording after the fact. So if you know, hey, I'm not going to be able to be there for that, I'm going to be at this worship leader's retreat, you know, please click that and check that out. And like I said, all these resources, everything that we put up today, will be put onto the Multiply Vineyard blog next week, and then you'll get a notification in your email to go check it out. So thanks so much for everybody. We're really excited to have you here. Justin, thank you so much. Annabeth, thank you so much. And Doug, thank you again. David was saying in there, what a dynamic combo of two worship leaders and a theologian on one webinar. You guys are just killing it. So thank you. And Justin, would you just close us in prayer? We'd love to have that.
Oh, I'm doing it. All right. I would be glad to. Lord God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be together and talk about something that is so so special and important to me and so many of our lives. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask, Lord, that you would you'd inspire us, you'd speak to us, you'd encourage us to be the worshiping community that's on your heart. And I ask a special blessing for everybody who's listening in and being a part of this. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to serve you with everything that we have, and we ask that you would even just increase our ability to serve you by breathing into us. Bless us as we go. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All right. Thank you, folks. So great having you today, and have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you.
You too.